So I'm David Smith. I'm a data scientist at Microsoft, and I've been there for about a year now. And one of the great things about working at Microsoft is having access and working with so many great data scientists at Microsoft that are doing just really, really interesting things. And what I wanted to do today was share with you, as a room full of data scientists, just some inspiration for the kinds of things that you can do with statistical analysis and new sources of data and the R language through these examples. Because, you know, data science is getting a little bit of a negative rap these days. If anybody watches House of Cards, there's even a data scientist villain on TV now. But I think it's really captured in this quote from Jeff Hammerbacker. He was the guy, very early founder at Facebook, but left Facebook to found Cloudera because of this opinion about data science. You know, he was saying that the best minds of his generation are thinking about how to make people click on ads, and that kind of sucks. And there's no shortage. I mean, there are people at Microsoft that are looking with data science to make people click on ads. If you've been asked to upgrade to Windows 10, you know what I'm talking about. But there are some really, really cool and awesome things going on at Microsoft that are done with data science. I wanted to share a couple of those with you now. The first one is called HERE.
More recently, we've actually been looking at the use of that translator in the classroom for kids that are hard of hearing or deaf.
Vinny had hearing loss due to chemotherapy, and he's had hearing aids since he was 3 years old.
You are at home or at school?
We are all at school right now.
There are deaf and hard of hearing students that are in the speaking classroom. They call this mainstreaming.
Did you know that Starbucks is from Seattle?
It's easier to communicate with my teachers and to get what I have to get in school done rather than other schools where it was just so hard for me with my hearing problems and such.
You tried Peking duck.
That sounds pretty good.
I became deaf when I was one.
I'm just profoundly deaf and qualified for cochlear implants.
That often requires an interpreter, whether it's sign language interpreters or whether it's closed captioning. The problem is it doesn't scale.
Can you not talk about eating? I was hungry.
The idea that when he is in school in the future, if he can actually be watching the professor talk without having to be facing him, I think would be really exciting.
I was able to be with all of my friends and talk to someone in China who was speaking a different language than me, and I could see what they were saying on the screen, so I could perfectly understand what they were telling me.
The technology is young, so we're kind of seeing how it's evolving and how people are using it.
What kinds of anime do you like to watch?
Anime.
I love Miyazaki. June especially likes Spirited Away.
Yeah!
Yes!
So, I mean, I love that example. It's something that was created, the Skype Translate service, you know, really as a simple communications mechanism. But this realization that it can be applied to people that have hearing difficulties. And then there are people working sort of at the human level to figure out how to implement this and make it work for kids in classrooms and people with hearing difficulties generally, and really, really changing a lot of people's lives, I think, is really awesome. By the way, the technology behind this, the actual translation service, which used as its input data from Ping in dozens of different languages, is based on CNTK. That's Microsoft's deep learning algorithm. It is open source. It's available on GitHub. So if you'd like to apply this deep neural network algorithm to your own data, go ahead and grab that repo off of GitHub and give it a go yourself. So I'll give you some more examples about how to access that in a moment as well. I'd like to move on to another example of Microsoft data science in action, and this one's called C.
A mandrel syringe juice adjusts his watch, then opens a door. He emerges from a train station with sunglasses and a white cane, then walks along a London sidewalk.
I'm Saqib Sheikh. I lost my sight when I was 7. And shortly after that, I went to a school for the blind. And that's where I was introduced to talking computers. And that really opened up a whole new world of opportunities. I joined Microsoft 10 years ago as a software engineer. I love making things which improve people's lives. And one of the things I've always dreamt of since I was at university was this idea of something that could tell you at any moment what's going on around you.
He taps sunglasses to take a picture.
I think it's a man jumping in the air doing a trick on a skateboard.
He types out a computer, then sits with colleagues.
I teamed up with like-minded engineers to make an app which lets you know who and what is around you. It's based on top of the Microsoft Intelligence APIs, which makes it so much easier to make this kind of thing. The app runs on smartphones, but also on the Pivot Head smart glasses. When you're talking to a bigger group, sometimes you can talk and talk and there's no response and you think, is everyone listening really well, or are they half asleep? And you never know.
He taps his sunglasses.
I see two faces, 40-year-old man with a beard looking surprised, 20-year-old woman looking happy.
The app can describe the general age and gender of the people around me and what their emotions are, which is incredible.
In a restaurant.
One of the things that's most useful about the app is the ability to read out text.
Hello, good afternoon. Here's your menu.
Great, thank you. I can use the app on my phone to take a picture of the menu, and it's going to guide me on how to take that correct photo.
Move camera to the bottom right and away from the document.
And then it'll recognize the text. Read me the headings.
I see appetizers, salads, paninis, pizzas, pastas.
Years ago, this was science fiction. I never thought it would be something that you could actually do. But artificial intelligence is improving at an ever faster rate. And I'm really excited to see where we can take it.
In a park with a woman.
As engineers, we're always standing on the shoulders of giants, building on top of what went before. And in this case, we've taken years of research from Microsoft Research to pull this off.
I think it's a young girl throwing an orange frisbee in the park.
For me, it's about taking that far-off dream and building it one step at a time. I think this is just the beginning.
The Microsoft logo appears.
Well, the hard of hearing subtitles there as well. But I think this is another really great example of something that was originally just technology. This is the Microsoft Vision API, which you can see up on the screen. You can pass it a photo, and it'll identify within that photograph all the objects that it can detect with its level of confidence associated with that. And then later on, we combine that together into something called the caption bot. You can give it a picture, and then it will take that information about the entities that it finds and actually write a caption for the picture it sees. In this case, I think it's a man standing on a beach with a dog. By the way, if you want to try that, visit captionbot.ai. You can upload one of your own photos and see how it does on generating the caption. But the real insight here was being able to take this technology and then apply it to a real-world problem in conjunction with the actual device, the glasses here, to help somebody who can't see to get information about the world around them. If you'd like to, by the way, use the Vision API, it is available to everybody. You can visit the Cognitive Computer Vision API page at Microsoft.com. Here's an example of me uploading a picture from the USAR conference 2 years ago. And it's too small for me to read now, but it says a group of people standing in front of a building. You know, I can identify what that is and give you information about that photograph. I used this API myself for a recent blog post based on some work by Jeff Allen to try and get an estimate for how many people of either gender, men and women, use different programming languages by having a look at the avatars of people that program in various different languages for the top repositories on GitHub. And that using that same face API to try and see, to identify from that avatar men versus women. I've done it on my own avatar from GitHub right there, and you can see it identifies that yes, I'm male, I am smiling. It's identified my age, which I'm not gonna say anything about. And it's given my beard a 7 out of 10 rating. So you can access that directly from R. The code is in that example of my blog post, and it's an interesting thing to try and use. One last example I want to give you here is called Move. I don't have the video for this one, unfortunately, but it's really cool to see this man who is a quadriplegic. He's lost use of his arms and his legs. But by attaching a brainwave sensor to his head and trying to interpret the actual signals that come from those sensors, when he thinks about moving his hand, he's actually able to control a prosthetic arm and move it to a specific target. And the cool thing about the video, and I'm so sad I can't show it to you, is just the smile on his face as he realizes he's able to have independent control. Now, this is really, really early research. We're nowhere near to have anything in sort of real world around this, but you can contribute to that research. It's all based on data of people sitting in a room with brainwave sensors hooked up to their head, thinking certain thoughts or seeing certain pictures. And then it's basically a classification problem in statistics. You know, how do you go from these sensor signals to actually predicting what the person's thinking when those sensors are generated? If you'd like to try your hand at the data, there's actually a competition running right now at the Cortana Analytics Gallery called Decoding Brain Signals. A lot of the competitors in that competition are in fact using R to do that, and I believe the current leader is getting 91% classification. See if you can do better. You've got a couple of days until the beginning of July to do that, but there's some good prize money up on offer, but more importantly, it's really contributing to solving an important problem out there. All of the things that I've talked to you here about today are part of Microsoft Cognitive Services. You can access them from R. I've only shown you a few of them, the computer vision API, the face API, the speech API, and the translation API. But as you can see, there are many, many more available to you. And if you take one thing away from my talk here, I'd just like you to think, you know, as data scientists, there's so much more data available to us now than there was just a few years ago. There's image data, there's video data, there's sound data, there's speech data, there's text data. And these are all new rich data sources that when we translate them and extract information from them using these cognitive services, we get data that we can analyze using traditional statistical methods and using R. So think about how you can integrate those services together and try and change somebody else's life. Thank you. Okay, yeah, we got time for questions. Yeah, we got a question in the back there. Yeah, the question was the time delays that it takes to, you know, process one of these APIs, recognize a picture, translate a sentence. The actual latency for one query is milliseconds, typically. I mean, these are all trained models that are really just doing predictions at the end of the day. The underlying growth of those models is takes much more on the Microsoft side. By the way, I didn't mention that if you'd like to try any of these images, any of these APIs, you can do so for free. You are rate limited under the free service, but even then it's like dozens of transactions per second that you can use. So in all of my examples that I've used, I've never really come across that rate limit. Yeah. Another question there at the back. The question is, there's a similar API service from Google. What's the biggest advantage? They do similar things. And I think that's the real rich world that we live in today, is that there are all these services available that allow us to make sense of data that previously to us as statisticians and data scientists was inaccessible. So really to encourage people, and it is a competition in the sense of the best service that gets the best data is going to be the one that used the best. We're proud of the ones that we have here at Microsoft, but I'd love to hear what people's experiences are in using them. Okay, well, thank you everybody today.